Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Ches, and we will begin on the last words of Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav. Menayin shenishboam l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. How do we know that one can make a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah? Shenemar, so he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Nishbati v'kayimu lishmar mishpatei tzikecha. David HaMelech says he swore to fulfill the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Gemara for lai mushba va'oimid mehar Sinai hu. How could such a shvua be effective? We already are sworn from Har Sinai that we have to do all the mitzvahs. And the halacha, as we're going to learn in Masech the Shvua, is that in Shvuas, is ain't shvua chala shvua. So if we already have a previous obligation to be Makayim the mitzvahs from the Shvua in Har Sinai, how could a second Shvua be chal? Because as the Ran explains, the pasuk when it speaks about Shvuas, about a Shvuas bitu, a person making Shvua, and uses the words Lahara or Lahetiv. And as the Gemara says, that means that somebody makes a Shvua Lahara, he won't eat, or Lahetiv, that he will eat. Those are voluntary actions. He doesn't have to eat, he doesn't have to not eat. And therefore, that shvua is effective. But a shvua on an item that I already am obligated to do is not a valid shvua. And therefore, how could we say that such a shvua is effective? There's a machloikus. What does it mean that we already mushba va'oimid mihar Sinai? So Mefarshim explain. Either it doesn't really mean har Sinai. It means the shvua on har Gerizim and Harevel, which we find that we made a Shvua. Ad Mefarshim explained that the Medrash says that at Har Sinai there was indeed a Shvua, and the Gemara's question is, how could therefore this second Shvua be chal? There's a fundamental Machloikus Rishonim. When our Gemara says that ain't shvua chal shvua, if there's already a shvua, another shvua cannot be effective, to what degree is it not valid? Many Rishonim hold, as it seems Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, that a second shvua is not effective at all once there's already a prior shvua. However, from the Ran seems to learn that in violating a shvua, we know there are two issues. One is that there's aveira or bal yachal devaroi for violating the Shvua, and there's also a chi of carbon for violating the Shvua. Says the Ran, when the Gemara says here that ain't Shvua chal al Shvua, that's only regarding the chi of carbon, that there wouldn't be a chi of carbon. But the lav of bal yachel is still effective, but the Gemara's question is still a good question. V'loi mushba v'oimid mahar sinaihu. The Mefarshim asked the obvious question that the Gemara, instead of asking on Rav Gidl how could such a shvur be effective, it's a problem of ain't shvur chal al shvur, why doesn't the Gemara ask on David HaMelech? The David HaMelech said nishbati v'kayma lishma mishpadei tzedkecha, how could that shvur be chal? So the Shita Mekubetzes actually suggests that is the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is asking not specifically on Rav Gidl. The Gemara's question is on the Pasuk in Tehillim. However, I saw other turutzim to this question. As we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, there are circumstances where an act is not a required act, it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. There, the halacha is that one can make a shvua to have to fulfill that act. So when the Pasuk in Tehillim says Nishbati v'kaimo lishma mishpatei tzedkecha, the pasuk is not referring to mitzvahs that one is obligated. There's a din of ein shvua chal al shvua. Only when Rav Gidl made a statement menayin shenishboim l'kaim es ha-mitzvah, and he doesn't seem to distinguish is it something that we're obligated to do or not, that's when the Gemara asks a question ein shvua chal al shvua. And actually the wording of the pasuk in Tehillim points in that direction. because the pasuk doesn't say nishbati vakaima lasois mishpatei tzedkecha. The pasuk says nishbati vakaima lishmar. Why does the pasuk say lishmar? Lishmar means siyogim, gedorim, chumris, various actions one take to make sure that he's mekayim the mitzvahs. Those actions are not necessarily considered mitzvahs, and therefore a shvul would be effective on those actions. Another teretz that I saw from Shlomo Kluger is that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that although Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma by Kabbalas HaTorah, Hada Kablu b'mei Achashverosh, in the time of Achashverosh they accepted it again, and the Mefarshim explained that at Kabbalas HaTorah they said Nasa v'nishma only regarding Torah Shebiksav. Only at the time of Achashverosh, Hada Kablua, the Mekabel Torah Baal Shebapeh, even Beratzen Ubesimcha. So since David HaMelech, explains Rav Shlomo Kluger, lived before the time of Achashverosh, so it was before the time that Klal Yisrael were Mekabel Torah Shebapeh truly, properly, that's why one can make a Shvua. Our Gemara, however, is already referring to the time of Rav Gidl, which was after the time of Achashverosh, where Klal Yisrael were Mekabel the Torah in the time of Achashverosh, Besimcha Beratzen, and that's why the Gemara is asking, how could the Shvua be effective? The Mefarshim also ask that why couldn't the Gemara have brought a Raya from Yaakov and Yosef, the one can make a Shvua to be Mekayim Advar Mitzvah? Because we find in Parashas Vayechi that Yaakov calls his son Yosef and asks him that after he passes away, Yosef should make sure that he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov made Yosef make a shvua. And the question is, isn't Yosef already obligated to do what Yaakov told him because of the mitzvah of kibud av v'em? So we see that one can make a shvua to mekayim a mitzvah. Answer the Mefarshim. Yaakov Avinu was before Kabbalah Satorah. Before Kabbalah Satorah, there is no question that one can make a shvua to be Mekayim a mitzvah. Rav Gidl specifically brought a pasuk from Tehillim from the time of David HaMelech, which was already after Klal Yisrael were Mekabel the Torah, and still David HaMelech is seemingly teaching us that one can make a shvua l'kayim as a mitzvah, although our Gemara is asking, why don't we have a rule, ein shvua chal al shvua? The Mefarshim also point out, we have this rule that we're discussing of ein shvua chal al shvua. We also have a rule of ein issa chal al isser. And what is the difference between ein issa chal al isser and ein shvua chal al shvua? So the Noda Behuda says that let's say we'll have something which is only osir because it's a chatzi shir, and even though chatzi shir osir min haTorah, there is no punishment for chatzi shir. So if somebody will bring a whole shir, the second issa will be effective. Ein shvua chal al shvua, there is no rules of shiurim. Davni Meluim says a different difference. Davni Meluim says that by Ein Issa Chal Al Isser, the second Isser really ought to be effective. There's a technical issue blocking the second Isser from being effective, the first Isser. Should that first Isser dissipate, the second Isser will come into play. However, regarding Ein Shvua Chal Al Shvua, if the halacha is, as we're learning, ein shvua chal al shvua, that prevents the second shvua from ever taking effect, and even if the first shvua should no longer be relevant, since when the second shvua was made, it could not be effective, it will remain invalid forever. So the Gemara's question is, how could Rav Gidl say, nishbal kaim as a mitzvah, why is there no issue of ein shvua chal al shvua? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashmon, what Rav Gidl is teaching us is the Shari Le'inish Lezruzei Nafshi. A person could stimulate himself. And how could he stimulate himself? By making a Shvua. So, as the Mefarshim explained, it's not really that it's considered a full fledged shvuah. This is just a method how one could stimulate himself to do mitzvahs. And as Rav Tzadok says, the purpose of this lezruzei nafshei is when the person makes the shvuah, it reminds him of the shvuah that took place at Har Sinai. It reminds us that we already have an obligation going back to Har Sinai to mekayim the mitzvahs, and that will prompt us to properly observe the mitzvahs. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim give is we know that if a person, chas v'sholem, comes to do an aveira, the Yetzirah tells him that this is really not an aveira. And if a person wants to do a mitzvah, the Yetzirah comes with all sorts of explanations why there really is no obligation to do a mitzvah. The purpose of the Shvuah is to make sure that the person recognizes that this is a mitzvah and that there is no leniency not to fulfill the mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Rav Gidl Amarav, Hoimer Ashkim Ve'eshna Perikzeh. If somebody gets up and somebody makes a neder and he says, I'm going to learn this Masechta, the Halacha is Neder Gadol Nadal El Kayisrael. It's considered that he made a very significant neder. Ask the Gemara again, how can we say that this neder is effective for like Mujbev Ha'imid Hu? Vein Shvuah Chal Shvuah. He already has a prior obligation from Har Sinai. So says the Gemara, Maik Mashmon, how will you attempt to explain what Rav Gidl means? The Filus Ruzi Balma, that all he's really doing is just stimulating himself to perform the mitzvah. But if that's what Rav Gidl is teaching us with this halacha, asked the Gemara, Heiner Rav Gidl Kamaisa. Rav Gidl already taught us that halacha. So that can't be what Rav Gidl means. We have here a question. We learned earlier in our Masechta, asked the Ran, that the difference between a neder and a shvuah is that a neder is an issa cheftza and a shvuah is an issa gavra. So here, one is obligating himself to learn. So that's a gavra. So how could the Gemara call it neder godel nodar lelekei Yisrael? And actually, because of this question, the Ran says it should not be understood as a neder. But the way to understand the Gemara is that it's really a shvuah. And that's what he actually meant, to make a shvuah that he's going to learn. However, the Rosh takes a very different approach, and many other Rishonim follow the opinion of the Rosh. And they explain that this neder, that one obligates himself to learn, is like a neder to give tzedakah. Just as we've learned that if somebody makes a neder, we've discussed this earlier in the parak, to give tzedakah, that's considered a neder mitzvah. Here too, one who obligates himself to learn, it's considered a neder mitzvah. However, the Pesach can go a step further. As we have discussed regarding nidrei tzedakah on a number of occasions, nidrei tzedakah, nidrei hekdesh, are different than all other nedarim. And all other nedarim, the nedarim are not effective unless one verbalizes the neder. By neder tzedakah, neder hekdesh, we explain that as soon as one makes the decision to give the tzedakah, then it has the din of a neder. Say the Mepaiskim, the same thing would be regarding learning. If one makes a decision, although he did not articulate it, that he's going to start learning, have a certain seder, certain obligation in learning, that is considered a neder. And he has to fulfill it. And if he violates it, he's violating a neder. And if he needs to no longer follow that neder, he would have to have hataras nedarim. And in fact, the Mefarshim explain, we could understand it, the wording of the Gemara very much points in this direction. Because the Gemara says, neder godel nodar lalakei Yisrael. What does it say, nodar lalakei Yisrael? It should say, neder, it's a big neder. What's pshat lalakei Yisrael? Because when one has a machshava, when one makes a decision in his heart, no one knows that besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this nether, as we're learning, is effective even only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, because it's a nether mitzvah which is effective just when one makes the decision. Nether Godel Nader Lelekei Yisrael. And as soon as he makes this nether, it's obligated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and he's obligated to fulfill the nether. And therefore the halacha is that if one, and Mr. Brewer discusses this, that if one has, for example, a Seder that he learns every day, he learns the Daf Yomi every day, and one day he could not make it to the Shir, he should not go to sleep and say, I'll learn two Dafim tomorrow. Since the halacha is that he's undertook a nether to learn this, so he has obligation to fulfill that nether every day. On the same token, Mefarshim explained that it could, the Paiskim discuss, it could well be that if one attends a shir, or one began a seder, daf yoimi, or halacha yoimi, and he wants to change his mind, he can't just say, I'm going to go to another shir, or I'm going to learn something else. It may be a question that he already accepted a nether, and if he wants to change, he has to have hataras nedar. The obvious question in understanding this Gemara is, why is the Gemara suggest that he's already mushba va'oimid, that he already has an obligation to learn? Yes, as the Mefarshim explained, there is an obligation to learn, either from the pasuk that says v'gisa ba'yomim v'layla, or from the pasuk v'shinantam levanecha shehei divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha, but that doesn't mean that he has to learn this specific perek or mesechta that he undertook to learn, that we should say that the nether is already a shvuah al shvuah. So there are a number of answers to this question. Ramosha in the Dibris Moshe explains a very bechiddush. He says a person, every Jew, has an obligation to know the entire Torah. That's what he says is the meaning. A person has an obligation to know the entire Torah. The only issue is that we're unable physically to know the entire Torah because we don't have the mental capacity, we don't necessarily have the time. But the obligation to learn and know the whole Torah is there in every Jew. Therefore, the Gemara is asking that if I made a shvuah to learn a parak, it's a shvuah al shvuah. I already have a chiyuv to know kol haTorah kula. That's Ramosha's approach. Another approach that I saw the Imri Emes says in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe is that if someone makes a neder, eshne perigze, eshne mesechtezu, it shows that he has a cheshik, he has a desire to learn this perek, to learn this mesechta. So it's obvious that this is his chelik, this is his portion of Torah, and min hashamayim, and that's why he so much wants to learn this portion. Since this is his portion, min hashamayim, that is his to learn, therefore he already has that obligation, and the Gemara's question is that the second shvuah should not be effective. A third teretz is that the Gemara is not referring to a specific perek of learning, a specific mesecht of learning. The Gemara is referring to a time. And the person says, Eshna perek zeh, I'm going to take out this time of the day to sit and learn. And that asks the Gemara, he already has an obligation of a hagisa by yom v'layla to learn all the time. So if he already has an obligation to learn all the time, how could the second shvuah be effective? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashmalan. Answers the Gemara, the halach is, Kivin di boy pata nafshe b'kriyishma shachas varvis. Since one could fulfill the chiyuv of Talmud Torah with saying Krishma in the morning and the evening, mishimachi chayas shvu'alei. Therefore the shvu'ah is effective. And here, too, we have a very fundamental machloikus rishonim on how to understand the Gemara. The Ran explains the Gemara that since the obligation to learn Torah, to learn more than just the minimum of Krishma in the morning and the evening, is only learnt from a drasha, of Vagisa Bayoim Velaila or Vishinantam Levanecha, says the Ran, since it's not explicit in the Pasuk, the halacha is that a second Shvuah is effective. That's the approach of the Ran. However, most Rishonim explain the Gemara differently. Since one can be Mekayim the Mitzvah, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah with learning, with saying Krishna in the morning and the evening. Anything else, although it's certainly required, is not totally obligated, so therefore it's not considered that he's already mushba va'oimid to learn at that time, and that's why the second Shvuah would be effective. There's a machlokes when the Gemara says here that by saying Krishma in the morning and the evening, one is Mekayim the Mitzvah. What part of Krishma does the Gemara mean? Some Achronim say it refers to the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Dar Sameach says it doesn't require necessarily to say the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael. If you say the Parsha of Ahavta, or you say the Parsha of Ahayim Shemaya, one would also be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's a question that the Chedusha Harim asks. He says, we find a very interesting phenomena in this Gemara. He says, typically, what Chazal do is that they take a Pasuk and they expand the Pasuk to broaden the obligation. And here we find what Chazal are doing is that they're taking the Pasuk of Krishma and saying that all we need to do is say Krishma and one will fulfill his obligation of Talmud Torah. Isn't that just the opposite of the general approach of Chazal? Says the Chedush HaRim, if one properly says Krishma in the morning and the evening, such an individual will already learn the whole day. By being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim properly, that is the best guarantee that he will spend the rest of his time properly in learning Torah. So as we now learn, saying Krishma is considered the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore the halacha is, if one gets up in the morning and he wants to say Krishma, the Zman Krishma is approaching and he wants to say Krishma, he should be careful to say Birchas HaTorah before he says Krishma, because as our Gemara is showing us, Krishma is considered Talmud Torah. However, the Sha'al Tshuvas B'Tzela Chochma discusses a situation where one gets up late and it's almost the Zman Krishma is almost about to pass, and if he's going to say Birchas Krishma, Birchas HaTorah, he will miss the Zman Krishma. What should he do? So he says, certainly, since Birchas HaTorah is only an obligation with Rabbanan, and Krishma is a Chiv Deraisa B'Shach B'Chav Kamecha, one should say the Krishma even if he didn't say Birchas HaTorah. However, he says, that is only regarding the first two parashiyos of Krishma, V'Hafta and V'Hoyim Shemaya. However, the parasha of V'Yoymer is not limited, says the Shari Tshuva, to the Zman Krishma. It could be said even later. So what the person should do if the Zman is passing and he doesn't have time to say Birchas HaTorah, he should say Shema V'Hafta V'Hoyim Shemaya, then say Birchas HaTorah, and then say the parasha of V'Yoymer. This Gemara is also used by the Paiskim to prove another halachic shaila. The question is, can one do two mitzvahs with one act? And our Gemara is teaching us that when one says Krishma, he's also fulfilling the obligation of Talmud Torah, but he also has an obligation to say Krishma. So we see that a person could do two mitzvahs with one act. And this question comes up in a number of situations. One situation is if one is obligated himself to fast, and the day that he wants to fast also happens to be a fast day. Will that be considered that he fulfilled his own obligation? Or the question comes up quite frequently, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person doesn't have children to say Kaddish after he leaves the world, and they ask someone to say Kaddish, And many times these people who are asked to say Kaddish do not specifically say the Kaddish only for one Niftar. They could be saying it for a number of Niftarim. Can one person say Kaddish for a number of Niftarim? Most Paiskim, and our Gemara certainly points in that direction, certainly hold that one Kaddish can be said for a number of Niftarim. Ramosha says that a person in such a situation that saying Kaddish for a few Niftarim should have by every Kaddish in mind a different Niftar. But again, most Paiskim disagree. The question also comes up that let's say someone missed Kriyas HaTorah on Parsha Zohar, which we know is a chiv, the rice to hear, mitzvahs, zechiras, mechias, amalek, and he missed that Shabbos. But that kriya of Parashas Zohar is the kriya of Parashas Kiseitze. So when the Parashas HaShavua of Parashas Kiseitze comes, he has a mind to hear the kriyas HaTorah of Parashas HaShavua and be mekayim mitzvahs, mechias, amalek. Can he be mekayim both with one kriya? And again, our Gemara certainly points that he can. Vi Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav. Haim l'chaveroi. If somebody says to his friend, Nashkin v'nishna perek zeh, let's get up early to learn this perek. Olav l'hashkim, the person that initiated this conversation must get up. Shenemer, as we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel, V'yom alai kum tzei al abikah, come to the valley, v'shama, get up and come to the valley, v'shama davabach, and Yecheskel says, "Veitzei alabika, I went out." And as Mefarshim, just to combine what the Mefarshim explained in understanding this Gemara, is that this Gemara is teaching us that even though number one, it was not said b'loshin neder, he just said to his friend, "Let's go and learn. Let's go and learn." That is considered already an obligation that should be fulfilled. Moreover, even if the person who initiated this conversation was doing it because he was a greater person and he was trying to get his Talmud, his Chaver, to be anxious to learn, so he says, let's have a Chavrusa in the morning, but his whole purpose was really just to get the Chavrusa to come to learn, so that doesn't change his own personal obligation. And not only does it not change his personal obligation, moreover, he has to initiate, he has to be there first, as we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to be there before Yecheskel. And again, the Paiskim say, from here we see that if one undertakes an obligation to do a Dvar Mitzvah, he's obligated to fulfill it. And certainly, if one says that he's going to learn or do a mitzvah, he's obligated to do it. But the Paiskim discuss, what is the halacha if one undertook to do a Hechsher mitzvah? Somebody said that he's going to buy a sukkah, and then someone else goes to buy it for him. Is that considered an obligation once he said that he's going to build a sukkah? It's a Hechsher mitzvah, and he's obligated to do it himself. Or if someone else does it, it's also acceptable. The Paiskim say as follows. If what he obligated himself was a mamish advar mitzvah, building a sukkah is a mitzvah, learning Torah is certainly a mitzvah, he cannot have someone else do it on his behalf. He can never have someone else learn Torah on your behalf. But if what he was obligated himself was only a hechsher mitzvah, I'm going to buy a sukkah, so if in the time that he had someone else go buy the sukkah, he was doing a dvar mitzvah, it could be that it's acceptable. But if in that time he was not doing anything of importance, he is not doing the right thing once he undertook to do even something which is a hechsher mitzvah. I saw interesting shaila where there was a rav of a community, and another community asked this individual to become the rav of their community, and he said, and he accepted the position. Once the members of his first community heard that he was leaving, or wanted to leave, or was considering leaving, they all came to him and said, no, we want you to stay, and we will pay you more, or make the conditions favorable that you should remain in our community. May he obviously he had not yet signed the contract. May he remain in the first community? And some Paiskim want to suggest that it falls under the category of what we're learning in Al Gemara, that he obligated Eshna Perikzeh, he obligated to learn with the people of the second community, and once one takes on such an obligation, Al Gemara clearly teaches us that he must fulfill it. Amrav Yosef, Nido b'chaloyim, if somebody in a dream was put into Chayrim, and Ritvaz says a Chiddush, not only if one saw in a dream that he was put into Chayrim, but if someone approaches someone else and says, you know, I had a dream last night, and in my dream last night, I saw that you were put into Chayrim. The aloch is, Tzarech b'nei Adam l'hataloy. He has to bring a minion of people to be matter his Chayrim. Because when there are 10 people, there's the Shechina, and that's the way the Chayrim could be released. The Paiskim discuss that the Gemara says, in Masechta Sanhedrin, that if one has a dream, his father comes to him in a dream and says there's a pile of money buried wherever, and that money, however, is Maisa Sheini money. And the person gets up in the money, goes to look for the money, and indeed finds it. He does not have to consider that money Maisa Sheini. So we see that we don't have to worry about dreams. Why here are we concerned about dreams? So the Mefarshim explain, number one, there it's a question of mamon, and as we've said many times, hamotzi mechaveiro olav araya, and otherwise we could keep the money. Another pshat is, since here we are referring to a chayrim, and a chayrim, as we've learned, is a very serious item, and that's why Chazal were more concerned about chayrim, and it suggests to this individual to worry about this chayrim and have it released. Also, the Mefarshim explain that a neder that speaks to the future, not to the past, a cholim, a dream that speaks to the future versus to the past, is much more serious. A cholim that says that he's currently in chayrim is more serious than a cholim that speaks about money that was buried in the past. So the Gemara says we should bring 10 people to release him. Who should those 10 people be? People who learned Gemara. Avamas nuvaloitanu. If they only learned Mishnayis and did not learn Gemara, loy. That's Pashup Shat. Tosfos explains, that not only people that learned Gemara, the people that taught Gemara, but if they only learned and did not teach, they are not the right people to release from a Chayrim. Vilek the Tana Hilchasa. Again, we'll learn Pashup Pshat. If there is nobody to learn Gemara, I feel Masna V'loitanu, then one should go and find people who learned Mishnayis, V'leka, and if there aren't people who even learned Mishnayis, Leza V'leisha V'prashas Drachim, he should go and sit at the crossroads, V'yav Shalom L'bei Asara, and say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people, Ad-Mikalei Asara D'Germei Hilchasa, until I find 10 people that can release him. So again, most Mefarshim explain that this is a stopgap measure, that since this person is in a Chayrim, and he needs 10 Talmidei Chachamim to release him, until he finds those 10 Talmidei Chachamim, he should receive Shalom. And what's the point of receiving the Shalom? When 10 people say Shalom Aleichem to him, that brings upon him Shalom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, I saw a story that a person once came to Chaim Briska on a Friday afternoon, and he said to him that there's someone in his family who's very sick. What should he do? So Chaim Briska said that on Friday afternoon, it's a minig by many men that they go to the mikveh. So there are a lot of men by the mikveh. So you should go stand by the mikveh and say Shalom Aleichem to many people. And if people say Shalom to him, our Gemara says that people saying Shalom brings bracha, and that's how hopefully this person in his home will have a refuah. That's one pshat in the Gemara. Another pshat in the Gemara is that in a place where Talmidei Chachamim are not available, so going to the crossroads and receiving Shalom is the other way of having the Chayrim released. And I saw that these two approaches really have another nafkamina. When we say that one has to grow to the crossroads and meet these 10 people, does machlokes rishonim, does mean they have to have all 10 people congregated together, or it's 10 people even not at the same time? So the mefarshim want to suggest that these two machlokes are connected. The mandom that says that these 10 people saying shalom will release the cheirim need all 10 people together. The mandom that holds that this is only a gap measure holds that we don't need all 10 people together. As long as there are 10 people that give him shalom, that will hold off the problem until he can find the right people to be releasing from the chay. Amlei Ravina Ravashi, Yodaman Shamte, and once saw in a dream that he was put into chayrim by individual. Maudilishrilei, can he ask that person who put him to chayrim to release him? Amalei, perhaps l'shamusei shavi shliach, he was only appointed from Shemayim to put him to chayrim. However, l'mishrei l'shavi shliach, he was not appointed min Shemayim to release him, and therefore he has to follow the approach that our Gemara just gave, that he has to get the 10 people, or he has to get the Talmid Chachamim to release him from the nether. Amalei Rav Achler Rashi, shamtei v'sharalei b'chalmei, if he had a dream, both that he was put into chayrim and he was released. My, what is the halacha? Amalei, so he responded, k'shem she'ef she'b'la b'loi tevin, just as it's impossible to have grain without chaff, k'achi ef she'l'cham lo'im b'loi dvar b'teilim. Every dream has in it dvar b'teilim, and therefore we have to be concerned that the dvar b'teilim are the release, and he has to find somebody he has to actually go through the release process. So Mefarshim ask, perhaps if we're saying that one part of the dream is true and one part of the dream is not true, maybe the part of the dream that's true is the release and the part of the dream that's not true is the chayrim. So to say that cannot be. Because if the release is true, there must have been a chayrim. Otherwise, the entire dream is dvar b'teilim. Our Gemara says that only part of the dream is dvar b'teilim, not the entire dream. Says the Gemara, Ravina Havalei Nidra Ludvisa. Ravina's wife made a nether that she wanted annulled. And as the Mefarshim explained, a husband can be made for his wife's nether, but that's only if it's a nether beino lebeino that affects the relationship, or it's a nether that makes her repulsive to him. This wasn't such a nether. Or the halach is that once a husband is mekayim the nether of a wife, the nether becomes obligatory. Or it was a situation where the husband heard the wife's nether and was not made for it b'yoyim shamay, that the nether becomes valid, and now she wanted the nether annulled. And the osl kamei the Rav Ashi, so Ravina came to Rav Ashi and Omalei and asked him, Baal mashi yasu shlich l'chrotus ishtai, could a husband be a shlich to go to the bezdin to affect hataras nadarim? Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, Im mechnefin, if the bezdin is already assembled in, then the husband can be his wife's shliach. Eloi loi. And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Ran, has two opposite approaches. One approach is that certainly one cannot be a shliach for someone else to be matan neder. Only a husband can be a shliach, because we have the rule of ishtoi kegufai. However, since it's an exception to the rule, Rav Ashi said only if the bezdin is already sitting will we allow the husband to act as an agent for his wife. To go and assemble the bezdin, that's not permissible. However, the other approach, the Ran says, is just the opposite. Certainly, we have a klal in all of Shas that Shliach Shalom Kamaisai, a shliach is effective. However, by a husband we're concerned, since a husband cares for his wife and is anxious that this nether that his wife wants annulled should be annulled, when he reports this situation to Besdin, he may not report the regret, he may report the reason that his wife wants the nether annulled properly. A regular shliach does his job. He was told to say this, he says what he's told. A husband, we have to be concerned, will embellish what his wife asked him to say. And therefore, the Gemara says, if the Beis Din is already sitting, and the husband did not have to go through bother of gathering the Beis Din, we're not concerned that he's going to embellish his wife's situation. But if not only is it his wife who's suffering from the neder, but he also had to go through the tircha of assembling a Beis Din, there we have to be concerned that he's going to perhaps embellish what he was said, and therefore he should not be the shliach. Rabbi Lazmi Mitz has another approach to understanding this Gemara. He says that the Gemara is referring to a situation where a wife made a neder, and she regrets making the neder, but she's embarrassed to go to Beis Din to ask for hatara. So her husband is a good husband, and he wants to go on her behalf. She didn't ask him to go. He didn't necessarily receive permission to go. May he or not? And that the Gemara says, if the Beis Din is sitting anyway, he may go. If the Beis Din is not sitting, his wife will say, I didn't want to go to Beis Din because I didn't want to be embarrassed in coming to Beis Din. You gathering together a Beis Din is only making more embarrassment for me, and that's not what I wanted, and that's not why it's acceptable. This Shaila is also relevant la'aloch l'maisim. Because there's an interesting Shaila, we know that we typically make Hataras Nadorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah after davening. What about women with Hataras Nadorim? Shreve Shlomo Zalman says the women don't have really a minute to say Hataras Nadorim. They rely on Kol Nidrei. However, Moshe Sternbuch says that a husband, when he says Hataras Nadorim, should have in mind his wife also. He should say, I also want my wife, I want Hataras Nadorim for my wife. However, our Gemara is teaching us that if one is acting as a shliach for one's wife to be matan neder, he can't be the one to put together the Beis Din. So if somebody's going to be doing this, saying Hataras Nadorim for his wife, he should be careful not to put together the Beis Din that's being matan neder, because our Gemara says, then you can't be matan neder on behalf of your wife. Shema mina tulas. From this situation, we can learn three halachas. Shema mina baal nas a shliach lecharatas ishtoi. A husband can be a shliach for his wife. Shema mina loy shori lemishri nidra basid rebbe. A person cannot be matan neder in the place of his rebbe. That's why Ravina was not matan neder for his wife, because his rebbe Rav Ashi was there. Asks the Rishonim, the Mishnah says masechtan legon. Call on the goyim odem roya. A person can't look at his own negoyim or his wife's negoyim because he's partial. So how could a Ravina ever been the person to be matan neder of his wife? So one answer given is that since Hataras Nadorim is done by three dayonim, so even if the husband is being matan neder, he's only one of the three dayonim, and he could be matan neder for his wife. Another teretz, that Ravina would have never sat on the Beis Din to be matan neder for his wife. But he would have taken three of his talmidim to be matan his wife's neder. However, now, since this was where Rav Ashi was the Rav, he relied on Rav Ashi. And we also learn King Mechnefin, when the Beis Din is already in session, Shapadami, a husband could be the shliach for his wife. V'shamta, however, when it comes to release somebody from Cherim, afilo asad the Rebbe, even in a place where one's Rebbe is there, one may be release someone from another, release someone from Cherim. Somebody being in Cherim, as we've learned, is a very serious situation, and the Rebbe may not be available, and therefore anyone could be matter, even a Talmud could release someone from Cherim where his Rebbe is the Rav. V'yochad mumcha, and furthermore, a single person, Shari Shamta, could be released a cherim. The Ran, there's a machlokes Rishonim, that this yochad mumcha that can release a cherim, does he have to have smicha or not? However, the Rabbi Avraham and Ahar says, certainly the typical halachas of Beis Din, that it has to be done by night, that the Torah should not take place by night, nor by krivim do apply in a karv or at night is not the time for a cherim to be released. Amrav Shim Bar Zvid, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Tavla, Amrav Chia Aricha, the Beir of Acha, Amrav Zera, Amrav Beleza, Amrav Chanina, Amrav Maishia, Mishmei Der Behuda Balei. Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says, in Malachai, V'zocha Lechem Yirishmi, the sun will shine for those who have Yirishmaim. Who are those people? Eil b'nei Adam Shin Yirein Lohitzi Shmeim Shmeim Lovatala. These are the people who are careful not to say Shem Shemaim in vain, as we discussed in the previous year. So Mefarshim ask, that's the mitzvah. Of course you're not allowed to say Shem Shemaim Levatolo. For that you get schar. So Mefarshim explain, as we're going to learn, we've learned, but we're going to learn it again in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Yud. What the Gemara here means is that the people are even careful not to say, for example, Lahashem Karban, or Karban Lahashem, that is a Shaila of Mitzvah Shem Shemaim Levatolo. People who are so careful and stringent in protecting Hashem's name will receive this reward that the sun will shine for them. Why do they get this reward of the sun? Because, as we know, the sun is the most powerful element in the world. Somebody who recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the world deserves that the sun should shine on heel on his behalf. Others explain that the pasuk says, "Mimizrach shemesh ad mevayoi godl shmi bagoyim." Somebody who realizes the godl shmi, the greatness of Hashem, "Mimizrach shemesh ad mevayoi," has the sun shine on his behalf. Shemesh tzedaka umerape, shmamino chirga de yomi masi. The dust of the sun heals. We know in the morning, when the rays of the sun go through a window, you see those dust particles. Those dust particles heal. Says the Gemara, pligid Rishim ben Lakish. This is in an argument with Rishim ben Lakish. Damar, Rishim ben Lakish explains the pasuk differently. And as the Rishonim explain, Rishim ben Lakish agrees that the sun heals these individuals. He just says that that's not what this pasuk is referring to. He says the pasuk is referring to that ein gehenim lo'olam haba. There won't be gehenim in the next world. He says not, it doesn't mean after people die. It means after tchias ameisim. Al kadosh baruch hu mitzi chamim min hatikah. Al kadosh baruch hu will take the sun out of its case. Tzadikim, misrapim by, tzadikim will have a refuah from it. Rishayim, the dinim by rishayim, will be punished through it. Shnem v'zorach lechem, Yirei Shmi. The Loyoid, El Shmis Adnaba. The Tzadikim will delight in the sun. Shenem V'yotzim Epeshtim Be'egli Merabek. They'll go out and flourish. Rishayim Daimba Shenem V'hoya Boy Boyer Ketanor. They will get burnt in the sun. So the Mepharshim explain that in this world, luxuries at times contradict the Derech HaTorah. Pasta melech teichel. And that's what Pshat, the Pasuk says, Odom kiyomis be'oil, ena teire miskayemis, ela b'mi shememis atzmo aleho. However, in the next world, it will be the world where we will see the godless Hashem, one will be able to enjoy all the luxuries and will not interfere with his avodas Hashem. The Stipler explains that what does the Gemara here mean about the sun in the next world? He says, in this world, the tzaddikim and the rishoyim are constantly debating what is the right derech. However, when Mashiach comes, it will be clear like the sun that the derech that the tzaddikim took and take of avodas Hashem, of yiras Hashem, of limud haTorah is the proper derech. Halvai, we should be zoicha to that time very soon.